Where have all the heroes gone? We live in a day without heroes, or so we are told. But I suggest to you that heroes are still to be found today in the very same place they could always be found, in the place where God's Word tells us they can be found. Here in Proverbs 31 and verse 10, we read, "Who can find a virtuous wife?" Now, that word virtuous can be translated heroic. It is the very same word that is applied to Israelite warriors throughout the New Testament when they are called mighty men of valor. The same word that's translated valor here is translated virtuous here in verse 10. The Israelite warrior was the hero on the battlefield, but according to the Jews, a wise and godly woman was a hero on a different kind of battlefield, on the home front. She was the heroine of the home. As one has said, the last page of the Proverbs displays a full-length portrait of a heroine. So what we have here in Proverbs 31, verses 10 through 31, is a hymn of praise for the heroine of the home. In fact, a number of the same phrases that are used in the book of Psalms to praise Jehovah are used in this passage to praise a wise and godly woman. And this is a hymn that was meant to be remembered. It was meant to be used. These 22 verses form an acrostic in the original Hebrew language. The Hebrew alphabet has 22 letters, and each of these 22 verses in this hymn begins with a successive letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Aleph, Bet, right on through the last letter, Tau. And so the very form of this hymn lends itself to memorization and repetition. According to tradition, this poem was recited every Friday evening as the Sabbath began by Jewish husbands and their children. By its repetition, husbands were taught to properly value and praise a wise and godly wife. As a son repeated these stanzas down through the alphabet, he learned what kind of a girl to seek as a wife. As each daughter repeated the words, she gained a role model of the ideal woman. And it's my goal this morning, with the help of the Holy Spirit, that we shall learn these same kinds of lessons. The media in our culture puts forward many examples of strong women as role models today, from actresses to CEOs. But particularly in this case, I think Christians must be counter-cultural. We need to counter the picture that our culture puts out of a strong woman with the picture that God gives us here of a wise and godly wife and mother. All of us, from husbands to future husbands, from wives to future wives, need a heroine. We need a role model. We need an ideal of what a wise and godly woman should be. And these are the lessons that we find in this hymn for the heroine of the home. So let's read, beginning in verse 10, here in Proverbs 31. Proverbs 31 and verse 10. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff and her hand holds the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, in a moment, we're going to discuss the marks of a heroine in the home, the character traits of this ideal woman, this role model. But after reading this passage, some of you ladies in the back of your mind are already asking, how do I become more like that? What's the secret, Pastor? Well, we are given the secret at the end of the hymn. How do you develop this kind of character? Verse 30 tells us the fear of the Lord. In the book of Proverbs, the fear of the Lord is a technical term for a right relationship with God. And so the secret here is that the foundation for everything that we're going to talk about this morning, ladies, is that this kind of character is developed in the context of a thriving, daily, personal relationship with the Lord. It is by His grace that any of us can grow in godly character. All things are from Him and through Him and to Him to be glory forever. Now, the first step for some of you here today may be to establish that kind of a relationship with God. And you can do that only through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died to bear the punishment of your sin. And you must turn from your sin, from your own way, and trust Jesus to forgive your sin, to make you a new creation, to make you new within. For someone here today, that may be the first step to becoming this kind of wise and godly woman. It's always easy when we read passages like these in the Bible to get the wrong idea. Often we think it is a matter of just trying harder. But developing Christ-like character is always also a matter of faith. Trusting in the Lord Jesus to save us, then trusting Him to work within us, trusting Him for the enabling, the empowering to develop this kind of character. Now, there's effort as well. This is not just a matter of letting go and letting God, but there's a balance here. If we're going to seek to develop this character, we're only going to be successful if we're depending on Jesus Christ consciously for the grace and enabling to do this. So that's the secret, if there's a secret. Now let's look at these marks, these character traits. There are three aspects to the woman that's described here in Proverbs 31. She is a person in and of herself. Then she is a wife. Then third, she is a mother. So first, Let's examine the marks of a wise and godly lady. And as we read this passage, we are almost overwhelmed by one repeated thought. This is one busy lady. Her tireless energy is pointed up again and again. And so, strength of character is first of all seen in her diligence. Her diligent work ethic, if you will. Now, it's a little bit difficult for me, let alone you ladies, to kind of connect with a lot of things that are said here. How many of you know what a distaff is? How many of you have a spindle at home? These descriptions here don't really connect with us in our culture here today. A woman in the ancient Near East could spend the better part of her day in the marketplace. That's the point of verse 14. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She had to go to the market and seek the best produce from this vendor and that vendor and this vendor, even just to put good food on the table for her family. And it's still that way in countries where there's no Walmart or Bilo a mile down the road stocked with aisle after aisle of conveniently packaged foods. And then, as I said a moment ago, verse 13 speaks of her seeking wool and flax. How many of you would know what to do with wool and flax? I know of very few ladies in our economy who even sew their own clothing, but I know of no ladies who produce it from raw materials. So does this mean that we're so far removed from this lady's world that we cannot learn from her? No. What I want you to notice about this lady is that she didn't have to work like this. The woman of Proverbs 31 is a woman of some prominence. A number of verses indicate that she had servants. She was a landowner. If she had wanted, she no doubt could have managed her life with very little work. A life of leisure, a life of laziness even, was open to her. But rather what we see expressed here is a joy and an exuberance in the work that she does and what she can do. Verse 13 says she works willingly with her hands. The words there are literally with the pleasure of her hands. She takes pleasure in her work. So I encourage you ladies to make the most of your time and your talents. Develop the abilities that you have. Try out new areas of endeavor for the benefit of your home. And don't let the television and social media and the cell phone and probably 100 other things drain away your fruitful hours. You say, well, I'm not a woman of prominence. I don't have servants. Well, you have the refrigerator and the dishwasher and the washer and the dryer. All of you ladies here are ladies of prominence. You can choose a life of leisure or laziness. But there's great reward for this kind of diligence. Notice verse 18. She perceives that her merchandise is good. And the end of verse 25, she shall rejoice in time to come. Literally, that verse reads, she smiles at the future. A woman's ego is tied to her home. And when she is diligent in providing that home, there is a sense of satisfaction and confidence that nothing else in the world can give. Now, I realize how countercultural that sounds. Feminists have been telling ladies for 50 years that if they're going to find satisfaction, if they're going to find fulfillment, then they have to get out into the workaday world. That's not what I read here. Whether a woman works outside the home or not, we're taught here that her identity is tied to her home. That is where she will find a sense of satisfaction and self-confidence. And by the way, I believe the converse is true. I believe that much of the depression and many of the emotional problems that characterize our society today flow from women who fail to understand this truth. The person, whether man or woman, who lets leisure and comfort drag him or her into laziness will suffer the guilt and depression that accompanies that condition. Depression in our culture often begins with laziness. The second mark of this wise lady is closely linked to the first. I will say just a word about her discipline. Her discipline. Verse 15 tells us that she's an early riser. Verse 21 tells us that she's no procrastinator. She plans for the future. She's organized. She's disciplined. Now, it's easy to excuse a lack of discipline. We say, well, I'm just not a morning person. Or organization doesn't come easily to me. But no discipline is easy. That's why they call it discipline. If it came naturally, it wouldn't be discipline or self-discipline. And self-discipline always carries its own rewards. The freedom and the confidence that you see characterize this woman here belong to those who are diligent and disciplined. And then I want to mention one last trait of this godly woman as a person, and that is her dress. Her appearance. Proverbs 31 has much to say about her appearance. Notice verse 22. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Purple was the finery of that day. It was the apparel of kings, according to the New Testament. It was costly because the purple dye could only be extracted in minute quantities from certain shellfish. But the point here is that she took steps to keep up her appearance. Now, for centuries, there have been evangelical groups that have preached that it's unchristian for a woman to pay attention to her appearance. But that position cannot be maintained from Scripture. The woman of Proverbs 31 is the epitome of wisdom, but she realizes that it is unwise to let her appearance go. During the years that I attended Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones Jr. was the chancellor, and that's Dr. Bob III's father. And I have forgotten much of what he said. But the chancellor, just about every year, would tell the girls in the student body something like this: if the barn needs painting, paint it. Only Dr. Bob Jr. could get away with those kinds of comments. If you didn't know him then. But there is a balance here. For verse 25 makes another statement about her clothing. It says, strength and honor are her clothing. The heroine here realizes that real beauty is inner beauty, beauty of character. While keeping up her outward appearance, her major focus is inward. This is the same balance that's laid out for us in 1 Peter chapter 3. I want you to keep your finger here and turn with me to the back of the Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter 3, verses 3 and 4. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Now, I want you to notice in verse 3 that word merely. That verse does not say, don't put on nice clothes, don't do your hair. What it says is, don't regard those outward cosmetic touches as true beauty. True beauty is the hidden person of the heart, the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit. And there's a further comment that bolsters this at the end of Proverbs 31 in verse 30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Charm is what we today call sex appeal. Beauty and sex appeal can be very deceiving. The man who bases his decision of a life partner on looks or on sexual attractiveness usually will in time find himself disappointed. In time, outward beauty must fade, but the inward beauty of the Spirit can continue to grow. I counsel you ladies, I counsel you teenage girls, seek to adorn your spirit and your character. Make it your first priority over a concern for clothes and cosmetics. Think about your daily routine, ladies. In your daily routine, how much time do you spend on your outward appearance versus your inward walk with the Lord and what that does to develop your inner character? Think about that. There needs to be a balance there. And the wise woman here in Proverbs 31 understood that the more important of those was developing that inward walk with the Lord, which would give her an inner beauty that does not fade. Then in the second place, the wise and godly woman of Proverbs 31 is portrayed to us in her role as a wife. This hymn spells out the marks of a wise and godly wife. Her relationship with her husband is laid out in verses 11 and 12. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. So first of all, we see that her husband trusts her. Now, it's very interesting to me what verse 11 says and what verse 11 does not say. I want you to notice that verse 11 does not say that she inspires his trust or that she earns his confidence. I assume that's true, but that's not what is said here. It doesn't say that he trusts her to be sexually pure or to keep his confidences. And I've read the commentaries, and those are the kind of comments that we find in those books. But I think they're missing the point here. The verse says that her husband trusts her, and because he does, he prospers financially. Isn't that interesting? I believe this verse was written as much to ideal husbands as it was to ideal wives. What the verse actually says is that the man who learns to trust his wife will have no lack of gain or profit. If you want to, men, you can go ahead. I Another verse here in the passage illustrates the point. Look at verse 16. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. You know, it's interesting to me to see how the older commentators who wrote before modern times try to handle this verse. They don't. They just skim right over it. They don't seem to want to admit that a woman has the ability to make major financial decisions. I love what one modern commentator wrote. Quote, "There is no way we can interpret this to say less than what is obvious. This woman apparently does buy and sell land." Now here's my point. Proverbs 31 is encouraging men to trust their wives, not just in decisions about furniture and china, but also in major financial decisions as well. A wise man learns to trust his wife's viewpoint. He learns that her viewpoint is given to him by God to complete his understanding of the world. Genesis 2 calls her a helpmeet, a helper who completes. So you see, men, her view of things is given to you by God in order to complete your viewpoint. And as I tell young men who sit in premarital counseling with me, woe to the man who doesn't come to understand this truth and learn to value his wife's viewpoint. In my library, there's a book by a successful Christian businessman. It includes a chapter that details how this man lost thousands upon thousands of dollars in bad investments because he would not listen to his wife's misgivings. And finally, he came to the conclusion that if God could create the sun, moon, and stars, then God could change his wife's mind. If his own big ideas were really on target. And so he began to listen to his wife. He began to trust her in major financial decisions. And not only did their marriage improve dramatically, but the decisions that he made financially began to improve dramatically. Now, let me explain. This is, you don't have to listen to this if you don't want to, okay? But let me explain my opinion on why this is true. I believe that most men are like me. They are deductive in their reasoning. Now, that's not true of all men, but I think generally men are deductive. A plus B equals C. That's all I need to know. Okay? Just straight line thinking. And men, because we can lay out that deductive reasoning like that, A, B, therefore C, you know, we think that that's all we need to know. I mean, that's it. I have two facts. I can reason to the third. We don't need anything more. Women are not like that. Generally speaking, women are inductive. Okay? So they have to see everything. Globally, in all the little details of everything, before they want to make a decision. This is why men find shopping so difficult. You know, a man walks into a store and says, "There it is. Let's go home. Case closed." A woman doesn't do that. She wants to visit every store. She wants to see every possible variety and all the details. And she wants to Google it and read the reviews. So she gets all of that detail and she pours it into the hopper of her mind and she cogitates on it. Oftentimes all this happens without her really realizing what's going on. And then she comes out with an opinion. And most of us men, we call it women's intuition when she's right. But what's really happened is she's thinking inductively. And she's noticing all kinds of detail that we as men oftentimes do not take into account. Now, which one is right? Deductive reasoning or inductive reasoning? Yes. But the point is that oftentimes my wife will have reasons for things that I don't consider. And I'm stupid if I don't take her... You can use that word. I'm stupid if I don't take her viewpoint into account. Now, does that mean that she always rules the day? No. But part of what God has given me my wife for is so that she brings that viewpoint to me. So, ladies, if your husband isn't listening to your female intuition, don't nag him. That's not your role. God has made him the head of the home. But men, if you don't elicit that viewpoint, if you don't listen to that viewpoint, stupid on you. That's why God gave you that complement, that help who is meet for you. And then, in the second place, this hymn teaches that the wise and godly wife supports her husband. She supports her husband. Verse 12 is a beautiful restatement of the role of the wife according to Scripture. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She's called a helper in Genesis 2. She is to aid and support her husband in accomplishing the goals that he sets forth as the leader of the home. When he makes a decision, when he sets a course, when he puts a goal before them, she gets behind him. She may disagree with the decision, but she still supports him once the decision is made. She's there to do him good, not to compete with him, not to pull in the opposite direction, not to manipulate him. She's there to support him. And with the support of a wise and godly woman, a man can go far, much further than he could on his own. When I read this verse, she does him good, It puts me in mind of Beneth Jones. I didn't know if I would be able to tell this story. I wouldn't if Dr. Bob were here today. I don't know how many of you were at the funeral for Beneth. But Stephen Jones, her son, shared a story of something that transpired between Beneth and her family just before she passed away. They knew that Beneth was fading. They didn't know how much longer they would really be able to interact with her. And Stephen said, the children said, "Mom, what does WWHH mean?" From the time that they were little children, and you know how little children have the little magnetized letters that they can put on the refrigerator. Mrs. Jones would have those letters on the refrigerator. And I guess this was not something that was just a one-time thing. It was, those letters were on the refrigerator for years and years and years. And she would never tell the children what they meant. And so finally, here she is literally on her deathbed. And the children say, "Mom, you've got to tell us, what do those letters mean? WWHH. And at that point, Beneth had to kind of really think about it. But she was able to tell them, "What will help him?" That was her focus throughout her life. I want you to think about who Beneth Jones was. She was one of the most accomplished females that I have ever encountered. She had a master's degree. She taught undergraduate and graduate courses at Bob Jones University. She was an accomplished actress. She wrote, I think, 10 different books. She was an author. And yet her focus was, what will help him? Today, women are told by educators and by media and by their peers that they cannot be fulfilled unless they have their own lives and they have their own careers. The wise woman of Proverbs 31 certainly had her own life and she had her own interests, but all that she did contributed to furthering her husband's goals and her husband's name. That's the idea here in verse 23 when it says her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. So don't get the wrong idea here. This is not a man sitting around doing nothing while his wife works her fingers to the bone at home. The city gate in ancient times was what we would today call city hall. Her husband was one of the leaders of the city. He was a man of prominence, perhaps a judge. And it's probable that she was part of the reason that he was in this leadership position. It's probably a position that was not paid in that time. And so the equivalent in our culture today would be something like serving as an elder or serving as a deacon. How many men are unwilling to serve in those kinds of positions because their wives will not support them in that kind of ministry? The husband here in Proverbs 31 was achieving his goals because the heroine of the home was behind him. And she was doing him good. They had the woman of Proverbs 31 in mind when they said, "Behind every great man is a great woman." And then very quickly, one last aspect of this ideal woman. She is a mother also. We see here the marks of a wise and godly mother. First of all, we're told that she clothes her family well. Notice verse 21. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed in scarlet. Now I got to tell you, I've never really understood this verse. Does scarlet-colored clothing somehow have a greater ability to repel cold? You know, I've never really been able to understand that until I researched. And the word here that's translated scarlet can also be translated double. So she has layers of clothing ready to keep her family warm in the bitter cold. In that day, it was common for people to have only one cloak. She made sure with her family that was not the case, that they had more than one for when the cold came. In the second place, she feeds her family well. I've already mentioned that fact earlier, so I'm not going to go back over that ground. In the third place, she teaches her family well. Notice verse 26. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Now, I believe the husband is responsible to lead family worship. I think the husband is there to make sure that the children get systematic teaching in the Scriptures. But oftentimes it's the woman who has much more time to teach the children. I counsel couples before marriage that they need to plan that when children are young, when they're preschool, the wife needs to be full-time in the home. She needs to be there to give herself completely to those children. And so she has the time to make a greater impact often than the man does who's out working a job to support the home. This is particularly true of you ladies who are homeschooling your children or who plan to homeschool your children. Blessed are the children who have mothers that are described like this, in whose mouths is wisdom. Think back. I challenge you to do this afternoon. This would be something fun for some of us. What were those sayings that your mom always said? She said them over and over again, and you can't forget them. Think about that this afternoon. What was the wisdom that she shared, that she imparted to you? What wisdom will you impart to your children, ladies? And then finally, she oversees her family well. Verse 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. The opposite situation is found in Proverbs 29:15, where we read, "The rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother." So here we have a woman who knows her children. She's engaged in their lives. She knows their strengths and their weaknesses. It's not a job that has her heart. It's not social media. It's her home and her family that is her focus. Several times in the New Testament, there's a word that's used to describe the man and his leadership in the home. It's a word that in English gives us our English word president. Husband is the president of the home. But the husband has one employee. And that employee is usually the general manager. He may be the president, but she's the general manager. She's the one who's on the scene. She's the one that's oftentimes doing that management in the home. And blessed are the children, and blessed is the home where that general manager is engaged, where she watches over the ways of her household. So, in conclusion, what is to be our response to these truths? The last several verses of the passage indicate three responses. First of all, in verse 28, her children rise up and call her blessed. Children, when you see these traits in your mother, give her your blessing. Give her your gratitude. And when I say children, every one of us is somebody's child. It's sadly the case that oftentimes when we are adult children, we forget our parents and we forget to rise up and call them blessed. And that's a serious mistake. I want you to think about this. The way in which you treat your parents is the example that you're leaving your children for how they someday will treat you. Her children rise up and call her blessed. In the second place, her husband also praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Now, I realize, men, that many of us have limited communication skills. But wives who are wise and godly need to hear these kinds of words from their husbands. As I said a few moments ago, a woman's ego is attached to the home that she makes, but it's also attached to her relationship with her husbands. Men value actions. Women value relationships. And the most important relationship in your wife's life is her relationship with you. She needs to hear, and not just on Mother's Day, that you value that relationship, that you value her. And then finally, in verse 30, we read, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Again, I go back to where I started at the beginning of this message. Ladies, if you're going to build this kind of strength of character, it will happen in the context of your walk with the Lord. And when you build that kind of character, this verse says you will not go unrewarded. So, ladies, as I have preached down through this catalog of character traits, has the Holy Spirit poked you somewhere? Is there an area where you say, I need to improve here? If so, then I encourage you to ask for Christ's forgiveness, to seek the grace and strength that He can give you to make changes, to become more like this godly woman. Could I have every head bowed, please, and every eye closed? Take just a couple of moments. The Holy Spirit has spoken to you about places you need to change, you need to improve. Would you deal with Christ about that before we close the service, ladies? Maybe men, there are some changes you need to make. You've not been listening to your wives. You've not been valuing them or communicating that value to them. Maybe there are ways that you need to respond to this message as well. Let's deal with the Lord Jesus for just a minute, and then we'll close.